On the Friday before Thanksgiving, it's been a Morning Edition tradition to help you with your weekend holiday shopping. And for more years than we can count, the help has come from NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg. Each year, Susan insists on offering listeners a Thanksgiving recipe which she says sounds terrible but tastes terrific. She went to Seattle's bustling Pike Place Market last month to get a head start on the holidays.
Looking for 3 pints of milk.
Where are your flying fish, sir?
They're all over the place.
The Pike Place Fish Company is a major tourist attraction at the market. A big sign says, caution, low-flying fish. Helpful, since the young and brawny fishmongers, one is named Vern, just love standing about 20 feet apart from one another and playing catch with big, fresh salmon, king, chinook.
You want a flying fish?
Well, would I have to buy it, or could I just admire it?
I don't know. We might be able to work something out for you. Here we go.
Will you hold my microphone?
Sure, let's hold it for you.
All right, thank you. I don't know if I'm ready for this. It's been a long time since I've caught a fish.
Here we go. You ready? How are you, Daisy?
Well, I mean, it was my first try, and the fish weighed at least 20 pounds. One more time. Woo! Could be a new career. Pike Place Market has fish, flutes, flowers. It's been there on Seattle's Elliott Bay since 1907. A fisher and farmer's market first. The flutes, pins, sweaters, crafts, and cafes came later. In 1971, the world's first Starbucks coffee shop opened just around the corner. Over the years, waves of immigrants set up stalls in the market. Scandinavians, Sephardic Jews, Japanese, Italians, Laotians. In her new book, Inside the Pike Place Market, Braden Rex Johnson says by the 1960s, the place had become pretty decrepit.
The market had really fallen on hard times. The buildings were decaying. There were lots of strip joints and bars, and, you know, the lower echelon had really moved into downtown.
In a frenzy of 60s urban renewal, there was talk of tearing down the public market and replacing it with a garage and some offices. But an architect and University of Washington professor named Victor Steinbrück intervened.
He said tearing down the market would be like replacing grandma with a chorus girl.
Steinbrück organized the citizenry. They raised money, got an initiative on the Seattle ballot, and Pike Place Market was saved. The only market, Rex Johnson says, created by public vote. Now there's a market foundation which provides social services, housing. Some 500 people live there, a medical clinic, child care, a food bank for low-income people and the elderly. And to Pike Place Market come 9 million visitors a year. Tourists and locals looking for fish, flank steak, fun, fantasies.
There's a bear with a fish in its mouth. There's an Eskimo riding in a kayak. There's a walrus on his back with his legs all rolled up and cute. There's the Last Supper by Gum, carved out of volcanic ash. Where's the ash come from?
Mount St. Helens.
And do you do the carving?
Been in the market 15 years doing this.
Pomegranates, $2. Lock your daughters inside, folks. It's pomegranate season all over again.
Do you have any cranberries here?
You knew this was coming, didn't you?
I don't think anyone in the market is selling cranberries right now.
I taped this last month, remember, to get a jump on the holiday.
Come on in. Nice apples, got them. Pumpkin season. Big Go Blue Saturday right here at Mario's, folks. Yeah.
You don't sell any cranberries here, do you? No,
well, we do once they come into season.
Are they popular?
Yeah, everybody likes cranberries. That's one of the traditional American accompaniments to the turkey and the ham on the holidays.
On National Public Radio every year, I give a recipe for cranberry relish. It's come to be rather well known across the country. And let me tell you the ingredients. You see what you think about this. Cranberries.
Right.
2 cups of them. That's fine. And a small raw onion, and you grind those two things together. And now it starts to get very weird. It's got
kumquats.
Sour cream.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, you're looking concerned.
Ugh.
It's got sugar, and it's got 2 tablespoons of horseradish.
I would put kumquats in there, too. kumquats. Get rid of the sour cream, though.
Yeah, sour cream. It's not healthy. It's not good to eat sour cream. I'm sorry for all the dairy farmers out there. But, all that dairy, it's not good for you.
Well, I'm very glad because Seattle is such a gourmet town. I hadn't thought about kumquats in it, but I may just consider that now for this year.
Kumquats.
Thank you, Luigi.
Yeah, have a great day.
Yeah, great day. Kumquats. Then Luigi had another idea.
Sweet peas.
For color, he said. Why? Why change the perfect shocking pink, okay, Pepto-Bismol pink color that is inherent to my late mother-in-law Mama Stanbrook's recipe for cranberry relish? No sweet peas. But here's the recipe again for your dining pleasure. 2 cups of raw cranberries, 1 small onion. Now you grind them together and then you add 1/2 cup of sugar, 3/4 cup of sour cream. You can use low fat, but it's sure not as much fun. And yes, 2 tablespoons of horseradish. You mix everything up together, you freeze it. On Thanksgiving morning, you move it down to the refrigerator compartment to let it thaw out a little bit. This makes 1.5 pints, which is enough for 10 if your friends are real gourmets, and it will serve 110 if they are not. Hey, Pike Place Market in Seattle, gonna try it? Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I'm Susan Stanberg, NPR News, back in Washington just in time to put the recipe on our website, npr.org.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have fun.
What about that? Do I have to buy the one that dropped on the floor?
Oh, yes, you do. Definitely.
You can wash your hands right now.